Welcome to the Chic Perspective Show. I'm Elizabeth Gordon, the Chic Entrepreneur, and I have some fabulous women to talk to you today about succeeding in style. First up is Heather Rocker, who is the Executive Director of Women in Technology and the WIT Foundation. Heather has actually brought a group of members of the Women in Technology group, so we are actually shining the Chic spotlight on Women in Technology this week. I am so excited to be able to talk to this group about the fabulous things that they are doing in terms of advancing more women in the field of technology. So welcome, Heather Rocker, to the Chic Perspective Show.
Thank you so much.
So tell me, what made you decide to start volunteering and getting involved in WIT?
Well, actually, of all the volunteers in WIT, I'm the only paid staff person, so we have about 150 volunteers with the organization. I've been historically what folks call a serial volunteer with other organizations, so this was a great opportunity not only for me to lead a nonprofit, but to lead one that really was close to my heart, not only with women in technology, but with offering an array of volunteer opportunities.
Now, has volunteering for the group and in general, because you have a long list of you are a serial volunteer.
I am.
I can see it by reading through your bio. Tell me how volunteering has really allowed you to expand your network or had an impact on your networking opportunities.
Yeah. Really found out as I went that, you know, there was kind of the core of people that I worked with, and then I could expand that by 10 times with really reaching out to people I volunteer with. And I actually came to the nonprofit sector from engineering as a result of volunteering and of utilizing that network and of people being able to bring opportunities to me that I didn't find for myself.
Now let's talk about WIT. What is Women in Technology all about, and what do you all offer as a group?
Well, we love WIT. That's why we're here today. And we're a Georgia-based nonprofit. Our focus is on promoting and developing women for success in Georgia's technology community. And that's the official version. So what do we really do? We help women succeed that are involved in technology. We get women interested in technology. And we have a foundation side to really fill the pipeline of the next generation of girls and women in technology.
That's fantastic. It's a really wonderful mission. And I think it's so important that we get more women involved in technology. How would you recommend people get started getting involved in WIT or just getting more knowledge about some of the things that you guys are doing?
Our organization is very inclusive. We also let men come and play with us at our networking events and our signature events. But we're open to women at any point in their career. So this could be a middle school student. This could be a woman who's just gotten out of college. This could be a woman who's looking to transition. This could be a woman who has retired and wants to stay within a network. So really what we've done is we've developed a brand new website that we launched this year called mywit.org. And it's a great place to go as a first step and to see what you may be interested in getting involved with. We're not a membership organization, so anyone can join us at any time with their events and just see what they like and stay with us.
And I have been to the events. They're fantastic. I definitely recommend everybody check it out. Thank you so much, Heather. I'm going to bring on Mary Lou Hastings now, who is the president of Executive Alliance and also a WIT member. Tell me, Mary Lou, welcome, first of all, to the Chic Perspective Show. Tell me, what is the Executive Alliance?
Executive Alliance is a national network of leadership conferences that we have put on across the country, specifically for IT executives. Everybody needs their 15 seconds of fame, 15 minutes of fame, so this was a great way and to showcase executives out in the community. We I'm a co-founder of Executive Alliance, and we took our model from WIT. They had done such a great job of women in technology and showcasing women at the top of the heap here in Georgia, and we took that model and rolled it across the United States for information security and other technology verticals.
So it's a national network for senior-level executives at Fortune 1000
yes.
organizations.
Yes.
So why is it important for people like that to get together and network, meet each other, discuss industry trends, that type of thing? Tell me why that's such an important mission.
Typically at this level where you're a VP, C-level in technology, The content you already have down, it's your domain expertise, and really what you need at this point in your career is visibility and recognition, not only for you and your team, because it drives influence across your organization, ability to garner larger budgets. And then secondly, the network. You need to be where your peers are and discussing what's going on in their company as a takeaway to be able to take back to your own company.
Absolutely. So if somebody wants to participate or find out more, where can they go?
Execalliance.com is our website.
Fantastic. I think that it's really interesting when I was reading about you. You also have your captain's license. Tell me about that. And, it's an interesting hobby, voting.
Well, again, it's one of those, along with technology, boating, you don't see a lot of women at the
Exactly, at which the wheel. I love it. Two male-dominated areas.
And I still want that adrenaline in my life that offers me something. And we bought a boat. We keep it up on the Tennessee River. A lot of people don't know it's a commercial waterway from Knoxville all the way to the Mississippi. It's 650 miles. You can lock through the dams. And my husband and I have some really funny stories of me at the helm coming in and banging up against a few things. I've learning how to pilot the boat, captain it. I pulled a couple guys in the water, but you fast forward 6 years later, and I'm now taking up friends on the boat myself. We disappear for the weekend. My husband goes off to his own car show, and I've got women up there. And we're
I love that. Do you think
time.
It's kind of a metaphor for, the leadership in general, or has it kind of taught you more about leadership as you've become more avid in the sport?
It is. I think a lot of people, it's about courage to take that first step. And I mentor a lot of people that are nervous and think that they're going to fail. And I just have to tell them, look behind you at your successes. Why would you think you'd fail at the next thing? And so I think whether it's technology or going off and getting your captain's license, it's about, first of all, having that courage that you're going to try it. And, 9 times out of 10, if you've been successful, you're going to be successful in the next stage of your career or personal life.
That's a really wonderful advice, and you're right. A lot of people are timid or worry about if they don't know exactly how to do it. But I think, you got to jump in and realize, trust that you can figure it out. You can figure anything out.
Absolutely.
That's terrific. All right, next up is Jamie Green, who is a partner with Kilpatrick Stockton. Jamie is a patent attorney. Jamie, tell me, you have a very interesting background as well, and a lot of interesting, your education path took an interesting turn. So I'm curious about your career evolution and your interests. It's really deeply rooted in a personal passion, it seems like. Tell me how you got into what you're doing today.
Well, I was able to apply for a scholarship if I majored in a biological science, and so that helped me decide what to major in college because I got the money. And so I majored in molecular biology, which was relatively unknown in 1979.
Right, and probably not a lot of women in that field as well, I would think.
Well, it's funny you should ask because I went to an all-women's college. So there were quite a few women.
In your classes?
In my classes, yes.
And how did that impact your education, going to an all-women's school?
Well, at Wellesley, women were in charge of everything. So I just assumed that was the way it was in the rest of the world.
Good assumption.
And rightly so.
Exactly.
Hear, hear. So tell me, Jamie, about the work that you do with your clients. What type of clients do you work with, and what kind of projects do you work on?
I work with biotechnology clients. Some are startups, many universities, and some large big pharma companies as well. And I help them procure patents and clear patents in case they want to start out with a new product. I want to make sure they're not infringing someone else, or help them enforce the patents if they should discover that someone is infringing their patents.
Okay. And you're working with, you've got a couple of interesting things you're doing right now as far as scientists obtaining patents, different disease control. Talk about some of the diagnostic tests and that work that you've got going on.
Yeah, that is one area that I've developed somewhat of an expertise.
It seems like that's become a real focus because you started as a scientist in cancer research, right?
That's right. I started at Sloan Kettering Institute for Cancer Research in New York.
And then as your career evolved, you got more on the law side of things and are now sort of doing the same work but from a different angle.
That's right. I've decided that the best way to cure cancer is to prevent it from the beginning. So early diagnosis helps the physicians develop the correct pharmaceutical products or surgical techniques to eradicate the cancer. So early diagnosis really is the key.
What were some of the challenges that you faced in your career? Because you were the first female patent attorney in Atlanta. So what was that like, and how did you manage to reach the level of success that you have? I think for some people that would be very intimidating.
Well, I do think that the all-women's college perspective put me in a good position because I really wouldn't take no for an answer. And there were situations where I was the only woman in the room and I was the one asked to go make the copies and things like that. But, you know, I just kind of worked through it and showed that I knew what I was doing, and people eventually started respecting me for that.
Well, I can see why. It's a pleasure having you on, Jamie. Thanks so much. Viola Strickland-Smith is our next guest. She is a managing partner of Satori Consulting. Viola, welcome to the show. Tell us about Satori Consulting.
Hi, how are you?
I'm terrific.
Satori Consulting, we work with our clients to create intuitive products and web applications.
Okay, and you're women-owned, obviously,
yes, we are.
And operated. How has that impacted your strategy of going after clients?
I think what we've really realized is that getting out of the gate and working, we had to try to break some of the barriers. Most of the research industry, especially for website development, was male-dominated. And so really working hard with my partner to identify areas of opportunity, figure out what our best clients were, and to kind of make a stance and be a lot more aggressive than we would have had to be in order for people to take us seriously.
And what is, so explain customer experience research and what you guys actually do for your clients.
Sure. So I'll take websites, for example. That actually is our primary business. We also dabble into products as well. But a website is built and people just think that it just appears. There's a lot of research up front that if you understand the research that's needed, you can create an intuitive website that actually focuses on the needs of your customers, which helps drive customer loyalty, which helps drive retention. It also helps with, especially on an e-commerce site, you don't want to lose your sales. So a lot of that has to do with not just the experience that the customer has, but the way that the website is designed.
Okay, so you're able to look at how are people navigating the site and really do it in what's going to be most intuitive for a user. Do you feel like being a woman, you have more intuition on these types of things and kind of a natural instinct at it?
I would love to think so. But I think so from the perspective that it all depends on a client most of the time. But we are able to take a deeper look, and I always say that, you know, we're kind of the geekies. So we love to look at how are you using that. And it goes just, you know, not just where you're clicking the button, but where the objects are placed on the website, where they're located, and, you know, what the purpose of the site is and the goals of your users.
And what do your customers say after you've completed a project? What are some of the things they've remarked about having gone through this process?
Well, it's really interesting because the word Satori is a Japanese word for epiphany. And so we like to say that once you go through the process with us and you follow our process, that it's the aha moment that you see what the value of doing the research up front actually provides to not just your business but your customers.
That's brilliant. I love that. Thanks so much, Viola.
Thank you.
All right, Tricia Dempsey is our next guest here, moving right along. Tricia is the CEO of Agile, the IT staffing and consulting firm. Tricia, welcome to the show.
Tell us about Agile. Yeah, we are an IT staffing and consulting firm located here in Atlanta, and we really work with companies throughout the Southeast to do two things. One is IT staffing, where we really help companies focus on speeding their time to the right top talent. And second is we started an IT consulting division that just launched this month, as a matter of fact, that is really focused on helping companies speed their projects to done.
Okay. Now, I love that this quote in here that top talent is 250% more productive than average employees. That's amazing.
How does that, you know, statistic compute, and what is that? What are the implications for that for companies?
Well, and everybody, when we talk about that metric, nods their head, because we've all worked with people who are average and do subpar and produce subpar work that a lot of times has to be redone, and a lot of time requires more resources to get done. But we find that when we put people on our customer sites who are a great fit for their culture and have an exceptional skill set, they can get done things typically about 200% times 200% faster than average employees can. So I think the implications are endless. It saves them money, it saves them time, it gives the culture in the company a higher standard to meet personally, and then ultimately results in things like end user and customer satisfaction as well.
You also say that the performance profile should start with the end in mind. Mm-hmm. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, a lot of times when we start with a company, they give us a job order. And there's a lot of companies in Atlanta who ask them to send us a job order. They'll send us four versions of a job order sometimes. So what we really do is we kind of take that job order as a model to create what we call performance profile, which really starts with, if you were to evaluate that person a year later on the job, what are the 3 to 5 things you're actually going to evaluate them, and how will you know what success looks like? Versus starting with how many years of experience of Java they have and Oracle they have, we assume they're going to have all of those things, but what do you really need 1 year from the time that you've hired that person?
So start with end results rather than, you know, criteria.
That's right.
That's really smart. Why is it important to assess both hard skills and soft skills in people?
I think it's critical because I think the thing that companies, there was an article done in TechLinks a couple of years ago where Mike Atkinson interviewed 10 CIOs and asked, what are the things that you're looking for in today's workplace? And I think he was expecting to get back, here's the hot skills, here's the project experience. Really, you know, the things that they talked about were being able to work together as a team, being able to talk to the business, being able to problem solve, being able to do things that really had nothing to do with hard skills. And so we really find that for customers to get the best value, they have to be able to hire people who've got both the hard skills and the soft skills.
So true. So yeah. True. All right. I want to open it up for a little bit of group discussion now, just on technology in general. I mean, you've all found great success in what are traditionally seen as male-dominated fields. What do you all think is why is it so important that we get more women in math and science fields and other fields that are traditionally dominated more by men? Who wants to go first on this one? I'm sure there's plenty of opinions in the room. Yeah, Mary Lou.
Well, I think, you know, girls at an early age, the stats have shown they roll off of the sciences and the math when it's no longer cool when you move into high school. And I think WIT has done an outstanding job over the last couple of years of forming organizations to show girls that there's a lot of opportunity out there, very broad-based, that if you don't want to be a traditional geek and be hard technical, but you can speak the business acumen around technology, that, you know, whether it's marketing or, you know, software development or whatever you want to be, that there's a place for you in technology. And with over 50% of the workforce now being women, I think we have to get girls involved in technology in order that we have people in the marketplace for us in the next 10 years.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the challenge is not whether or not women have the skills to be in technology.
Exactly.
It's helping them see that they can do it. And we do that at the student level to say, here are careers you never knew existed and are really cool and are going to get you excited. We do that at the post-collegiate level to say, hey, here are job opportunities where you can use the skill sets you've got. And we do that at every level in your career. We have our WITS Women of the Year in Technology Awards, where we say, you know, here's a woman who has been successful in technology, and every one of you in this room can get there. So it's about showing them the examples as much as it is providing them the opportunities along the way.
Excellent. And Georgia is such becoming really a hub of a lot of technology-based businesses. Why is it an attractive place for a lot of these technology firms that are starting to emerge?
there's a lot of things going on. You know, you've got the government making it a great environment for companies to come in. We've had a lot of great companies decide to headquarter in the Atlanta area. You've got great schools in place. I'll brag on Georgia Tech a little bit. You've got engineers coming out that are ready to work in the Atlanta area. And so that's the other piece of it. It's not just that there's technology jobs, but here's a way that you can sustain yourself. Here's an economic avenue to you that's growing and not shrinking. And so we want to make sure that women are taking advantage of that.
Excellent. And technology, people are very smart, and they've realized Atlanta's a beautiful place to live, so that's why they've moved here.
Absolutely.
That's right. Jamie, what are you seeing on the horizon in terms of new developments? I mean, technology is known for innovation first. What are some of the things that we're going to start to see on the horizon as we look into the future?
Well, one thing that is very new, and I think everybody's going to see, especially since the health care bill was recently enacted, and that is the personalized health care. In other words, your DNA is going to be used to determine which drugs will work for you.
That's pretty powerful stuff, which I'm sure has a lot of implications for many different industries.
Yeah, it would actually reduce the cost of health care.
Ultimately. And that's what we all need right now. All right, we're almost about time to wrap up here. It's been such a pleasure having all of you on. I always like to do a chic tip segment at the end of our show and give you all an opportunity to offer a couple of words of wisdom to another female entrepreneur who may be just starting out her career, or a woman in technology as she's emerging along her path. What would you offer as some words of advice to pass on? Mary Lou?
I was told early on this by a great mentor of mine, and it's stake out a corner of your own. The key to building great recognition is know me for this.
I love it. That's a great one. Tricia, do you want to go next?
No.
We're going to put you on the spot anyway. Because I'm sure you're used to it, and I'm sure you're going to be able to handle it.
She was going to say, get involved with wit.
Yes, that's right. That's right. I would say that the biggest thing that I think women need to really understand is the power of the good old girls network. And that men have been leveraging that for years. But one of the wonderful things about WIT, and I'll give WIT a real honest plug for just a minute, but if I look back at my customers over the past, I guess, 4 to 5 years since I've been involved in women technology, they all have come through relationships that I've developed through WIT. So I would say don't underestimate the power of the good old girls network.
I love it. That's great advice. Jamie, how about we skip over to you? What's your words of advice, chic tip?
I would say find your passion and find out what you're good at, and hopefully they will intersect and go for it.
Excellent. I love it. And Fila?
Similar to that, perseverance. Definitely always persevere.
I like it. And Heather Rocker, let's wrap it up with you.
I would say don't underestimate your role in the community and what you do as a volunteer basis. And that it should be part of your resume. It should be part of what you bring to the office place. It's not just what you do at your desk that's important.
That's so true. Well, thank you so much, ladies, for coming on the show today. It's been a real pleasure. You can check out the rebroadcast of this on the Chic Perspectives website, and we'll also have links to everyone's website as well. Again, check out the Women in Technology website and WIT Atlanta and all of the great events that they've got coming up in the city. Thanks so much for tuning in. To check out more Chic Perspectives episodes, go to our website, chicentrepreneur.com. Until next time, wishing you all chic success.